One thing that has made me a little sad these last number of months, and not the months we've been outside, but like since March, is you go to like grocery stores or anything, even in small towns where we're just kind of known for being friendly, and people all look away from each other when you walk down the aisles. So as we gather this morning, maybe not a hug, maybe not a holy kiss, but will you look around and greet each other and just say, welcome, I'm glad you're here. I'll give you some time. All right, our reading today, 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. In our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, the words of Jesus. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for drawing us here. I pray that you would just open our ears to hear what you have for us this morning. That you would open our hearts to take that deep down inside. And Lord, if there's anything prepared on my notes here that you don't have for us, that they wouldn't be spoken, but that your voice would speak in this place. That we wouldn't hear me up front, but we would hear you. And we'd hear your Holy Spirit talking to each one of us. Lord, we thank you for this time and this place, and we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have a little show and tell this morning. And it's hidden over here, so you didn't see it. I have for us a sponge. And it's a little dirty. I took it out from under my sink this morning. It's not like super dirty. Some of you like groaned. We have animals. So there's like some fuzz on it and stuff. This is each one of us. Dirty, fuzzy sponge. This cup and the water inside of it, this represents the normal kind of anxieties and tensions in our world. Normal stuff that we're accustomed to. This is our pre-COVID world. All right, this little cup. And we sit there, and just the corner of us, you know, is in. And yes, we absorb it into ourselves just by being in the environment. We absorb the anxiety that's around us. We absorb the tension. But we're pretty good sponges, I think most of us. We're pretty resilient. So as we absorb it, we still remain a sponge, so to speak. We're able to kind of take in that amount. Now over here, I have what the world feels like right now. There's so much going on in our own lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Rules and regulations, and how do we remain healthy, but how do we yet still try to remain friendly? And the anxiety feels like it's at an all-time high. And we are, as the months went on, we were floating for a while, but we've been absorbing and absorbing. And as you can tell, our sponge, our ability to do this is far too limited for the world we live in. And I don't know about you. I don't know what tensions you're feeling, what questions you're asking of yourself, but But if I'm honest, I'm looking at this sponge and I'm looking at my own world and I think to myself, I kind of fool myself. I don't think about the water, I think about what the sponge is doing. And I say, why can't I absorb more? Why am I feeling so waterlogged? Why can't I take in anything else? Why am I so tired all the time? Why do even the smallest things that I didn't care about before, why do they bother me so much right now? Why does it feel like my capacity has run out? Why do I find it hard to fall asleep at night? And why do I find it even harder to stay asleep? And the reality is that our sponges haven't been in this kind of soup before. This water's too clear, right? If we're honest, this would be gross water that we are floating in. And we kind of blame ourselves. But the point of this is that we need to learn how to function in this environment. You see, this environment like this is not new to God. And this is not new to God's people. The first century world, the world of Jesus' day and the world soon after, and the world for many, many years was a lot more like this than it was like this little cup. And yet, God's people thrived. And yet, God's people were able to live. And here's the key. They didn't just absorb it and rely on their own self-sufficiency. They found ways in their relationship with God, in their relationship with each other, in the ways that they prayed and they read Scripture. They found out how to remove themselves from the anxiety and how to wring themselves out. We're just not used to it. We're used to thinking we can handle it because the cup hasn't been that big. So we need to learn, as the people of God, how do we wring ourselves out? You see, this is still a wet sponge. Let's not pretend it's dry. It's not what I took out of my cabinet this morning. This is still a wet sponge, but this is a sponge nonetheless, and it can function as a sponge out in the world. And maybe the next day it gets reintroduced. And then it learns how to wring itself out again. So we're going to do a little bit of this practice this morning. And God's people have been doing this for a long time. So what we're going to do is before we get any further into the sermon, together we're going to do a little spiritual practice. Now, I have a ministry friend named Pastor Deanna. And she is at a church in Naperville, Illinois. And she's written this book, and it's about all these spiritual practices of the ancient church and how we can do them as a modern church. And this is one that she has for us. It just involves intentionally breathing. So often when you hear about intentional breathing, people just say, you know, breathe in deep and breathe out. But there's more to it when we're doing it as Christians. So we, together, in just a minute, we're going to breathe in deep. We're going to use our chest muscles to do it. We're going to use our stomach muscles also. We're going to breathe in. But as we breathe in, we're going to breathe in the peace and the love of God into ourselves. And then as we breathe out, we are going to release some of that tension and some of that anxiety that we've just been holding on to because we desperately, desperately need to. And if we want to hear what God has for us today, we're going to need to be in the right place. So would you do this with me a few times? Breathe in deep. Feel it in your chest. Feel it in your stomach. Hold it there. It's God's love and peace. And now breathe out. And as you do, it is anxiety and it's tension and it's all these things of the earth that we are sending out. Now breathe in again. And out. As we breathe in, again, it is God's peace and God's love that comes into us. And you can do this on the live stream too. It doesn't have to be weird. And breathe out that anxiety of the world. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you calmed storms in front of the disciples. Would you calm the storms that are within our hearts? Bring us into this place with calm hearts. Center us here. Speak to us what you have for us today. We know that your Holy Spirit is here in this place now with us. Speak to us, Lord. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hopefully you feel a little better. I always feel it here. Some people feel it here. I don't know where other people feel it. Headaches. Just irritability. But when we can release some of that, we kind of become, we become sponges again. We become humans again in relationship with God. Now, our world right now, our world is full of a lot of advice. And a lot of it's very good. A lot of it's very good advice, and it's helpful advice. And a lot, and some of it's posted on the wall over there, stuff I pointed out earlier. This is advice that the Center for Disease Control gives us all. It says wear masks when you go out in public. They tell us to use hand sanitizer very often, to wash our hands well and often, and to not touch our mouths and our faces as much as, if you're like me, as much as you apparently do all the time. Now, this is really good advice. And it's important, like I said with the sign. The sign says we're going to love each other by doing these things. And it's important to follow this advice because we have vulnerable people that are around us, and to love them well, it needs to look a certain way. But I will say that there's a very fine line within each one of us. There's a fine line between self-care and self-absorption. So self-care, we ask, how can I best love those around me? But self-absorption, when we become absorbed with only ourselves, we ask, how can I get out of here? Or how can I protect myself and only those closest to me? Like my closest friends, my family, my clan. How can I protect them? We don't think about how to love out in the world. What Scripture calls us to is ask a third question. We are called to ask the question, how can I be a light into the world? How can I bring light into this situation? 1 John 4:18, read for you earlier, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. You see, the Apostle John, he was often called the Apostle of Love. And there's a couple reasons why John's called the Apostle of Love. One is that in his own gospel, in the Gospel of John, he refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved. So that's pretty clear there. But also, in all of his writing, he speaks a lot of love and how we are to love one another. So it's not surprising that in the Gospel of John, we get our second reading from today, from John 13, 34 through 35. And this is a command that Jesus gives to his disciples, to his people. He says this, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now here's a little Bible study hint for you. Way back in the day, I mean, there's other reasons why they wrote the way they did. Of course, some of it's just good writing. But the ink and the paper that the Gospels and other biblical writings is written on was very precious material. It's hard for us to think that way because we're used to just typing and you can just throw away paper and whatever. But this is very precious material. So what they wrote and how they wrote it, especially in times where they repeated themselves, is a message that is for you. It's a message that they wanted to make sure to get across. Now, I'm going to read this again, and I want you to listen to the repeated phrases. It says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And this became an early identity marker for the early Christian church. See, the Roman Empire, where they were living, was not an empire, to put it lightly, it was not an empire of love. The Roman Empire and how they ruled and how they conquered and how they kept control of a very diverse group of people that were all under their empire was through fear and terror, and to raise this anxiety level to an all-time high. They committed atrocities that I don't dare say lightly, and I won't even say up front here. We can talk about it some other time. They committed atrocities to their people that were so terrible. So it's in that world that Jesus' first disciples are living, and he gives them this command that you will know, the world will know, that you are his disciples if you love one another. He doesn't say the world's going to know because you have the right bumper sticker, or the world's going to know because you wear a cross necklace out in public, or because you dress up nice and leave for church on Sunday and your neighbor's going to look and be like, their cars are gone again on Sunday morning. Maybe those are church folks over there. It says this, love one another as I have loved you. And he goes on to say, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Luke 6, verses 32 through 36. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because he, meaning God, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Here we are told to love your enemies, to do good to them, to lend to them without expecting anything back. Do good to them, you're like, okay, I won't purposely make their life difficult. Love them, it's like, oh, that gets... I don't know, really? I don't know if you've met them, whoever they are. I'll point over here, I won't point out here. I don't know if you've met them, but I don't necessarily want to love them. And then Jesus convicts more, and he says, lend to them money, expecting not to get paid back. I go, okay, be kind, love, those are one thing. That can kind of be in my head, but now he's asking me to lend money to people. But God, have you met them? And God says, love them. But God, I don't think you understand. Look at how they've treated me before. And God says, do good to them. But God, they have proven time and time again that they hate me. That they would never do anything nice to me. That if I were down, they would kick me. And if I were struggling, they would rejoice. And God says, be merciful to them. Because I have been kind and merciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. You see, I know, God, I know that you have been kind and you have been merciful, but why does that mean I also have to be kind? You are already kind. Can we move on? And now I can just be myself. And God says, no, 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 no. You don't get it. When you refuse to be kind to those who would never be kind to you, when you refuse to show mercy to them, when you refuse to love those who would never love you, you are the same as them. In those moments, you are as much the ungrateful and the wicked as they are. Look at the love and forgiveness that you have been shown. Look at what grace you have been given, and in that, be merciful as your Father is merciful. So how do we love? That's the question today. The sermon is called Living Out God's Love in the COVID-19 Pandemic. So how do we love right now? We can remain focused on ourselves. We can remain in that self-absorption mode, but love demands more of that. So I'm going to give you three things for those of you that are note takers. The first one is this: we are called to be people who quiet ourselves. When this sponge, meaning each one of us, is full of water, it can't love well. When the anxieties of this world, when all the tensions of this world fill us up and we are at our breaking point, we can't love well. So the first step is that we need to learn to quiet ourselves. We need to do more of these kind of practices that we did at the beginning of the service. We need to still our minds and take time daily to be quiet. Just be quiet before God. Some of you, I know, some of you have great prayer lives. You sit down with God and you speak with God like He's right in the room, and you know that God is with you. But maybe the call first is to be quiet before God. To let some of that water come out of that sponge. The problem is when we fill up like this sponge, we know how it works. The sponge doesn't show it well. We know how it works. It overflows to those around us. We take in so much of this water that we start dumping water on the people closest to us. And as they fill up, they start dumping water. So we need to start by quieting ourselves. The second one is this: we are called to be people who pray and listen to God's calling. Pray often. We live in this age of self-sufficiency. We live in this age where we have been accustomed to our sponge being large enough. So we fooled ourselves into thinking that we can handle everything. Maybe I'm alone. I'm not going to make you raise your hands, because you would all raise your hands. We have fooled ourselves into thinking that we are strong enough, that we are capable enough, that we are mighty enough, that we can absorb whatever tension of the world, and we can hold it, and we can protect those around us by taking it all in ourselves. But we need to learn to pray, because we need to learn to wring out that sponge, to release that, not on others, to release that to our God who is capable, who is actually the one who has walked with God's people in these kind of situations for many, many generations. And along with prayer, we need to listen to God. And one of the main ways we listen to God is by reading Scripture. If we're not reading Scripture yet, you're going to have a hard road in front of you. See, the beautiful part about when we read Scripture is we learn two things. We learn about who God is. And how we learn about who God is we read areas in history, areas of hardship and plagues and wars, in famines, and even areas of peace, and we learn who God was in those situations. And as we learn who God is, we learn who we are in return. So becoming aware of God's actions through history helps create this environment inside of us where we can become aware of God's actions right now in our own world. And the third one is this: we are called to be people who seek to understand others and to care for them in thoughtful ways. So the first part of that, people who seek to understand others. I have found in my own life that I cannot love my neighbor or my friend or my family member well if I don't understand them. You see, when back in the day, maybe you'll all remember this. Before March, we had these things, and they were called fairs. And sometimes you would go to a fair, and there would be a person standing or sitting, and they had a big easel, and they'd be drawing these caricatures, right? And if you sat down and you were brave enough, and you paid them money, they would draw an insulting picture of you. So if you have a moderately large nose, the caricature had a huge nose. And maybe you had a kind of a little goofy smile, you would have the biggest, weirdest smile ever. And this is what we do to everyone around us. We don't see them. We create caricatures of them in our own brains. And when we look at them, that's what we see. We say, that person, they always this. Or they're never gonna this other thing. So no matter what it is, we created these pictures of other people in our minds. And unless we can truly understand them, unless we can truly look out and see who they are for real, not just through our lenses, but maybe through God's lens, we need to seek to understand others if we're going to love them well. The second part of that is we need to care for others in a way that's thoughtful, that's intentional. As I made this list, I thought of myself, and if I'm honest, I think I was doing this better in May than I am right now. So maybe that's you. Maybe as I read through this, you're like, oh, I've done some of that stuff, but maybe you were better earlier on. But we need to do some of this practical stuff. We need to reach out to those who are at home, who are in kind of a self-isolation, especially those that aren't living with anyone else. We need to be intentional about reaching out to them and just even calling them on the phone. You know, hearing someone's voice, the voice of a friend or a neighbor, can be so powerful. And if you haven't done it yet, video calling is amazing. Maybe it's scary. Don't let that fill your glass. But video calling is wonderful because as you video call with someone, you can actually see their face. And especially if someone is living mostly isolated, you can have eye contact with someone. There's so much more to communication than just our voice, as we all know. So as we're able to video chat with people, I encourage you, if you haven't figured out that technology yet, when are you going to? I mean, now's the time. Figure out how to love each other well, even if it means figuring out a new technology. Just knowing that someone cares for you can make a huge difference. And if you look down the street and you know that that couple that lives down there, maybe you haven't even seen them come out, but you know their cars are there. They didn't disappear. They're not living in some other state. They're there, but they're huddled up inside. Or maybe you see them when you go out for a walk. This happens in our neighborhood. We go out for a walk, and you can tell how people are doing by how they react when they get fairly close to someone else. And there's some people that are a full block and a half away, and they're going to the other side of the street. And some of you look at your spouses. And there's people that you can just tell by their body that they're kind of having a hard time. Now, let's not judge them. Let's not make a caricature, again, of them in our own minds. Let's think, how can we love them? Maybe it means a simple note that says, I know you. I care for you. Sorry, I haven't been the best neighbor. Sorry, I can't remember your first name. But just know if you need anything. Here's our names. Here's where we live. Love to help you in any way possible. I'll close with this. If we as the church can do these things, if we can quiet ourselves, if we can pray, and if we can listen to God, and if we can seek to understand and care for others, then I think we can be a light in the darkness. We can be people who speak words of hope into a hopeless world. We can be people who stand up and say, this global situation that we are all in, it is powerful. But our God is so much more powerful. This pandemic that is all around us, this pandemic is big. But our God is mighty. Our God is capable. Our God is loving and gracious and kind. And he wants to know each one of us more. And he wants to know our neighbors more.